Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 604 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm your host, as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Not gonna lie, man, I'm kind of feeling kind of tired after our last little escapade and stuff before recording this episode. So for those listening in, stay tuned. We actually have something that's gonna be a little bit special, kind of a little bit interesting, and it has to do with some classic games. So yeah, basically Tyler just grilled me a whole bunch of different like retro like games would you rather, sort of like that type of stuff.
It was a really fun thing that I saw somebody else put together. And yeah, they'll come out Wednesday. So it's Saturday night as of recording. This show should be going up Sunday. So in a few days, check that out. They'll be going up. They'll be up on video and they'll be up on our YouTube channel. And podcast services will be in all those, but some I recommend maybe you watch the YouTube version of it. And so if you are, you're listening to this now, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out. We're on all the podcast services. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're everywhere. There are links in the description below. If you just click on those, take it right to the pages you need to go to. Just subscribe now, that way you don't miss it, don't forget about it. Because it was definitely I didn't know how good it was going to be, and it ended up being a lot better than I thought it was going to go. I think both of us, Gable's brain is broken, but other than that, I think we had a good time. So, really, like I said, highly recommend you check all that out. But, without further ado though, Gables, if you don't know who we are, what we do, Gables and I get together to talk about video games. We get together every weekend, talk about them, everything we love and hate about them, and all the fun stuff and bad stuff that happens with them. We're just two guys that we've been doing this for nearly 11 years now, over 600 episodes in. We have full-time jobs. We just do this because we love video games, and sometimes we're a little frustrated by them. Some more times than not, we love them. So that's what we're here to do. Without further ado, though, Gables, let's go ahead and just get into some of the news this week. So
All right.
start off here, kind of a out of nowhere thing here happened where, like, I think it was Tuesday, all of a sudden some rumors came out of a Marvel Rivals game was being made. Basically, so come find out it was Marvel Rivals, but it was like Marvel's making an Overwatch game. It's like, okay, that's weird. And then come find out NetEase is making it. So I was like, all right, that's definitely not the greatest sign in the world. And then like Tuesday night, they just announced that there was gonna be reveal on Wednesday. Trailer dropped. It was like a 2+ minute trailer. I did do a live react to it though, so if you want to go and check that out, go check that out, please. It was a lot of fun. A lot more to it than I thought. I was a little worried going into it that it was like gonna be like no gameplay or just be like small snippets and that'd be it. But ended up getting like a pretty solid, like I said, 2.5 minute long trailer. So we did learn it is a 6v6 third person Overwatch style game. I mean, that art style, the level that they showed was in Asgard, and that looks straight out of Overwatch. I think some people are gonna be excited because it's Overwatch 2 went to 5v5, and this one's going back to 6v6. The only difference is it's third person. It will be free to play, and they said there's gonna be 18 heroes and villains that are confirmed at launch so far. And they're gonna add more later. I'm sure there's gonna be skins, stuff like that. But this is gonna be a free to play game. But Gables, kind of, I haven't heard your opinions on this one. What was your thoughts about when you saw this trailer?
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised, because I understand that that formula has been done like a lot and stuff before, especially with Overwatch being the most popular in terms of that type of team shooter sort of aspect and
Yeah, hero
stuff.
shooter.
Yeah, the hero shooter, the team hero shooter and stuff. My first impression really upon like even hearing about the rumors is of like, okay, that seems kind of weird, but after seeing some footage of it, it seems like sort of classic Overwatch, and it seems all right. I mean, it's nothing really like crazy over the top in terms of something new, but I looked at the trailer, looked at the things, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'll give it a shot, because it's something that's something like completely different in some regards, I mean, what's kind of hilarious is like this is almost it's almost sort of similar to like in an original Overwatch sort of style, where you have like you just said before the 6v6, there really isn't too much like crazy like deviations that make it radically different from Overwatch, but at the same time, if it's just Marvel superheroes or something like that, like in a 6v6 type of thing, six heroes, six villains, is face off against one another. I mean, that could be potentially fun.
I'm agreeing with you. Like, I can't. I'm pretty. You were there for a little bit. Like, I remember, like, when Overwatch first came out there for the first couple of years. Like, we were semi regularly getting like gamer nights together playing Overwatch, and I played a good chunk of it with some buddies. But then, like, obviously, like, I mean, it's the issue with a lot of you know, these kind of ongoing online games, especially PvP, where, you know, there's people that just keep going hardcore, and like they kind of learn the meta, they know all the maps, they know like what characters go well with who with what. And instead of like, you know, it's just buddies getting together, having a good time, you know, like, oh cool, we just jumping in randomly having some fun here. Like, it turned into like, well, now you're playing with some people that are like, they play this, like, this is their game that they play, and then like they're getting,
And
go ahead.
not just that though, but like not just so the face off against people that already pretty much have been playing like nonstop ever since the game's release, but like you definitely will get more into the realm of meeting up against like say very toxic players as well, you know, like that feel like that it's either the way they want to do it or something like that, or like just pretty much deterring like certain like new players of wanting to even enjoy the game at that point. Because when it comes to online games in general, the last thing you really want to feel like when you're playing a game for the first time online and it's like established franchise has been around for years, you don't want to feel like that you just want to be gonna be overwhelmed just immediately from the get-go and stuff. And that's what kind of like Overwatch has at this point, to where Blizzard pretty much has wrecked a bunch of terrible ideas into that franchise in and of itself. I mean, changing the formula, putting out a sequel to the game, even though the sequel is honestly at points kind of inferior than the original launch that it had
Literally
back in
killed off the original
2015.
game.
But yeah, I have some good like hopes and stuff for this Marvel Rivals game. Hopefully it becomes pretty popular.
I mean, it's almost kind of like how I am with like when Splatoon comes out, where like I have a good time with it at launch, and then like usually after like a month, it just kind of turns to the hardcore, and it's like borderline unplayable at that point online. I mean, I think that's probably the case for a lot of games, but especially that game, especially if you play in like Japan hours, then you're definitely screwed. Yeah, it's just like you're saying, like it definitely gets toxic, not only like the people you're playing against, but people on your team. It's just like you're just kind of like playing, you're just doing exactly what they say, and you're not really like experiencing the game. Like a lot of funs of games is like learning yourself, and like sometimes you gotta learn the hard way, and it's like, but then you go on and you play games and it's like you're just getting wrecked, and it's like, I just want to play games with my friends, but I also want to have like, still want to have a competitive time. If it's just like every time you hop in a game, you're just getting destroyed, and like you're trying to move the cargo, and it's like I'm getting like 3 inches and getting just completely fucked. It's like it's not fun.
No.
So yeah, like I said, like I feel like the Overwatch and Destiny fans are kind of in the same boat, where like they play the game constantly, but no one's happy about it. It's like just like we're just like they're just like in this unhappy marriage, and like
Until you
you know.
stop playing it.
And yes, some people get divorced, people just stick around for the kids, you know. But yeah, like I guess that's kind of up for is like maybe like, you know, like kind of re-trigger the kind of the magic of like, man, because like when Overwatch hit, like that was a fun moment, you know. It's like definitely like when those games come out, they like it's just you and your buddies get together. It's kind of had that recently with like Helldivers 2, you know. This is kind of, you know, and game that was way bigger than we thought it was gonna be, and just kind of like organically grew and grew and grew, and like having this fun time with your friends and experiencing and learning shit. And like it's so early on in the process, so nobody knows the meta of the game, no one knows all the best stuff, no one knows like exactly every little tiny thing you got to do. Like you're all learning together, and just chaos is happening at the same time. So yeah, I like for that, and it's definitely got a leg up in the situation of like, you know, it's a Marvel game, so but we've seen, you know, these. Excuse me, these big IP games fail, like games as service games fail several times over and over again, like with major studios behind them and major IPs behind them, and they fail. Obviously, Suicide Squad, Avengers are like the two key ones like recently. But obviously, like, I don't know, I see a lot of people poo-pooing this whole idea, like, oh, it's just another game service. And definitely, like, there is a negative stigma around games as service. We've all known that. We talk about it constantly on this podcast. Like, it's
You
definitely like,
can't deny
yeah,
it.
you like, you know, I heard about it, and I immediately rolled my eyes. I was just like, okay. And then I saw the game, and I'm like, And then think about, like, you know, like I said, there's people out there, like, I listen to and talk to, or not talk to, but listen to, and, like, I read about, like, you know, I keep up with them, and, like, I agree with a lot of their opinions usually, and I was like, man, they're immediately, like, I hear these people talking, and, like, but I also hear these people talk about how great Helldivers 2, and it came out of nowhere, is, and it's like, you know, it's like,
and that's a live service game.
Yeah, it's like, live service inherently isn't bad, like,
right.
It's just, it's such an overdone thing, it's like, we've seen time and time, like, we just see more gigantic failures than we see gigantic successes, obviously, it's like,
right.
More time, you're more, it's like, it's just like, man, another massive game that, like, you know, you got to put a lot of time into and blah, 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 all the things we know about. But it's just so weird. Like, I see, like, and it just, like, not even just, like, content creators, but also just fans and, like, gamers in general. It's just like, man, like, I'm, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, we have Suicide Squad, but we also have Helldivers. And it's like, this could be either one of those. It doesn't have to be, like, the biggest game in the world to be a success. It's just got to find a solid fan base to stick around and, like, I don't know how good the studio is that's doing it. We don't really know too much about. Like, they didn't really put out a lot of big games, and also it's NetEase. NetEase mostly puts out like they publish like a lot of mobile games that are free to play and very obviously heavy on the microtransaction. And like, microtransactions exist. They don't really like bother me anymore really too often unless they're like really really like bad.
Egregious.
Yeah, like egregious. But it's like, especially a free to play game. It's like I've talked about like Fortnite. I get into it. Like one season every year, I plop down like I think it's like $15, and like I just did that recently, you know, a couple months ago, and I put like 30 hours of it, and it was totally worth it. I had a great fucking time, and that's worth it for me. And like, yeah, if that's what this is, and like as long as it's not, the skins aren't like crazy expensive, and there's like, you know, it's like $20 a skin, or it's like we're not talking like fucking was it Street Fighter 6 that had like the, oh, you could buy the TMNT turtles. But there, it's $60 for the four skins, you know?
Yep.
I said four skins.
For the four turtle skins, yeah.
Four turtles, thank you. but anyways, yeah, I think I'm down for it. I'm cool to check it out. There is a closed alpha that's going to be in May, but it's only on PC. They did say that this is coming to, it sounds like it's going to come to mobile, PC, and they did say it's coming to console. So, cool. I'm excited. We have no idea like when the game's actually going to launch. I'd imagine probably at the earliest second half of the year, early next year. But who knows how you know, see how well this alpha goes and everything. But I'm down. They've definitely got my attention. So next up here, Gables. Gables. We kind of heard the rumblings recently about this happening, and it's official. Take-Two has embraced Gearbox. Take-Two now owns Gearbox. Obviously, Embracer Group bought Gearbox in 2021 for $1.3 billion with a B dollars, and Take-Two bought them for $460 million. So I will say this again, Gables, Embracer, if you want to buy me for a gigantic sum of money, only so I can buy myself back from you for a third of the cost 3 years later, I'm completely down. So call me.
Sheesh.
You know, but anyways, so there is some like, all right, so the $1.3 billion is like, was supposed to come over time and based off of Gearbox hit certain elevators with sales and stuff like that. But they did give them, I think like about $400 million in 2021 immediately. We don't know exactly how much of that 1.3 they actually got overall. But then, you know, they were obviously bought from Take-Two, did buy them off of them. And it's something kind of like when this all this happened, I think a lot of people were, especially during 2021, that was like acquisition craziness. Everybody's buying everybody.
Yes.
I think we were all kind of stunned that like Take-Two just didn't buy Gearbox, because let's face it, like Gearbox is possibly one of the, like, even though they didn't own them, was probably one of their most important publishers out there, or developers out there. Mm. Outside of like Rockstar, and then like, you know, the NBA 2K, and there's probably a couple other ones I'm not thinking off the top of my head right now, but probably one of the most important with Borderlands, obviously. Take-Two does own the Borderlands, always owned the Borderlands IP, but, you know, Gearbox, but, you know, Gearbox was still an independent company for that, at that point. But a part of this, they own, so on top of this, the franchises they officially own now, obviously they already own Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, but they also get Homeworld, which franchise I totally forgot about. I remember that they put that sequel out, and I think it was like one of the worst games of the year. that year it came out. I remember the first one came out and it was like a just a beautiful like AA 360 game. One was like solid like 7 out of 10s, and that last one was like a broken mess. Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Gables most importantly here, Duke Nukem. So I'm glad to see in 2024 Duke Nukem is still getting mentioned out there. Some of the things we did learn, though, is Gearbox confirmed they're working on 6 titles. 5 are sequels, and 2 of those are sequels in the Borderlands universe, and also a Homeworld game. So we're getting a third Homeworld game. So that's great. So we're getting, sounds like 2 Borderlands games, so I'm assuming one's maybe like a Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, and then maybe a sequel to that, and then Borderlands 4 is the other one. They did say the Embracer Group is keeping the Gearbox publishing arm. They're going to obviously rename that. But they have games like the Hyperlight Breaker. There's a few of them, like a few other titles that you would know that there are the Remnant series they publish. But it sounds like basically they just essentially laid off the majority of the staff there after that happened. Now we're in this, makes sense. Gearbox is now officially owned or will be officially, probably early next year when the whole thing finalizes.
Right.
But it kind of just makes sense to me, honestly. I don't know why this probably should have just happened, but honestly, actually, it probably worked out for Take-Two to, like, instead of paying $1.3 billion 3 years ago, they got them for a third of the price now, so.
Yeah, it makes sense with the acquisition there for Take-Two because those games have been, like, associated with Take-Two and stuff for a long while. It wasn't until Embracer had to do the Crazy Rich Kid thing that I was paid exuberantly over what the initial value of that Gearbox was worth, yeah, in order to try to sell them off for, like what you said, like about a third of the cost.
Yeah. So I mean, but back, you know, 2021, everybody was just trying to buy up shit like crazy. So
yep,
probably then, like, it was probably worth $1.3 billion at that point, what they're going for. But now it's like, I think it's like Embracer's such a bad spot where it's like,
yep,
people are able to buy shit, you know, for a fraction of the price because they know. Basically, Embracer has to offload shit. So,
yep.
Yeah. So I don't. Yeah. Who knows? But so unfortunately, it's
free reign for everyone else.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said it's almost like free reign for everyone else to try to cherry pick what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also smart too because it's like all these layoffs and everything that's happening. Embracer is like laid off multiple thousands of people. Like we talk about nearly 20,000 people have been laid off in the gaming industry in the last 15 months.
Yep.
About 20% of that is from Embracer Group alone of the layoffs. So they're probably like, well, we need to hurry up and like buy, like, yeah, we want to get this on we don't want to pay full price for this thing. We can get a deal on it. But if we wait too long, what's going to be left of Gearbox? You know, it's like they have the Borderlands movies coming. They are the studio that makes these games. I love Borderlands 1 and 2. I didn't play the pre-sequel, though. Because I remember that was that weird... Came out like it was a 360 PS3 game after the PS4 and Xbox One came out. So it was like...
Yep.
And eventually, I know it came later in that Handsome Collection or whatever it was called. But, you know, I was like, I just never got around to playing that one. And I think most people kind of feel it was skippable. But Borderlands 3, people really seem pretty happy with that one. But it was like, I don't know. It's like, it was weird because it came out in 2019. Everybody I know that played the game liked it, but I feel like there's so many people that just like I bought it, like I found it when it was like $10, I bought it and I just never played it. As much as I love Borderlands games, just never played it. Same thing with Tiny Tina's Wonderland, never got around to it. They both reviewed really well. People that like their franchise were pretty happy with it, and it's just, I don't know, for some reason just never actually played those games. But obviously that's some of those things where like the IP is a lot bigger than I think maybe we think it is. I don't know. I thought I was pretty surprised overall about Tiny Tina's Wonderland, how well it did. And apparently it blew past what they were expecting for that game to do. So, it's just kind of surprising. Like Embracer Group is like, obviously they're in a rough spot. You said that they're the spoiled rich kid. And then they're spoiled, they're spoiled by Saudi Arabia. And then their daddy Saudi, finally cut them off, after 2023, they didn't give them their $2 billion, and put them in this weird situation where they're like, I just don't like, I continue to feel bad obviously for all these people that are working at these studios that were just bought by Embracer Group for just this endless growth that they thought was the smart thing to do. And they're just kind of stuck, you know, like in this thing, like where all these like studios are breaking off to go independent from them or getting bought up by other places. And they're these poor people just stuck there, like, you know, like, can't, do you leave? Do you just kind of hope that maybe you can, cause it's not like you can just go and get in a job in game development right now. You know, there's more layoffs than there are new jobs, more job openings. But it's like they're offloading all this fat, you know, like I guess for lack of a better term here, the fat of Embrace Group. But even though like Gearbox probably they're like their prize jewel they had, it's like it sounds like they said they're kind of done now with the offloading of things. But it's like I don't believe that. And also no. Like when this is all said and done, what's gonna be left of this Embrace Group here? Like they bought all these studios, they have all these different publishing arms, they have all these right. different. Like I think they have like it was like close to 100 fucking studios. Cool, you have all these like, but they're buying up all these small studios and like, cool, like yeah, they're putting up, but they're like a lot of smaller independent games, you know, that aren't gonna be huge gigantic successes. You know, they aren't gonna bring in hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know, like when you're a company that big and you have a bunch of small things, like I don't know, it's like talk about like we talked about last year, like Dead Island 2. Like sold several million copies, sold like 3 or 4 million copies. And that wasn't enough to satisfy them. Saints Row sold, I think like 7 million copies and that game wasn't even good. And it was very successful. And that was enough. And they actually closed the studio completely after being around for over 25 years, just closed the studio down. I just don't know like what there is to satisfy them. What is there like, what like is putting out a bunch of small hits enough to like turn the ship around? I don't like what is next for Embracer Group at this point.
That's the question really, because after everything's all said and done, I mean, we're not even too sure what developers or what companies are actually left that they can possibly kind of recoup a lot of their costs with. But at the same time, you know, it's let's look at the things this way. They've bought so much that they bloated, had to do a lot of growth stuff, obviously. But once initial funding started getting cut off, you know, it's like they pretty much did it to themselves, obviously. But yeah it's going to be interesting to seeing what like Embracer Group is going to be like a year from now. Because if they manage to actually just secure, like, a core group of, like, say, developers and stuff and actually have them, like, produce games and they're able to sustain what they feel like they need to make in that regards, I mean, it could be kind of a better outcome for them as a company. But at the same time, you know, let's look at all the other groups they end up having to either, sell off or, like, do that or just dissolve altogether, you know? I mean, a lot of more people, like, got the pretty much the tail end of things and stuff with this whole merger and like all these buy-ins.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, they still own like Crystal Dynamic and Eidos. But like Crystal Dynamic, like Amazon's making is one technically publishing that Tomb Raider game. Mm-hmm. So it's like they own Crystal, but they're not even publishing the game that they're making. So that's weird. I believe Amazon is also making a movie for them as well. For Tomb Raider, or maybe it was a TV show. I can't remember at this point, but I think it sucks. I hate to say this, but I wonder if it's one of those things where it's just headed towards bankruptcy and probably these bigger studios, we're obviously in the spot right now where, everybody's kind of tightening the purse strings. They don't want to go up and buy more and more you could probably buy these things at probably a steep discount. Some of these studios off of them, but probably a lot of them they look at like, well, we can just pick and choose. Like when it goes bankruptcy court, we can just pick off the IPs and the studios that we want and go from there. But I don't know. Yeah, it sucks that like, you know, it's kind of gross and disgusting that that's like where we're possibly heading to for Embracer Group here. I mean, it makes sense that they bought up THQ Nordic and changed their name to THQ. THQ and named themselves THQ Nordic, because that's the way they're going. All they gotta do is put out a fucking knockoff gamepad, and they're there. So, but let's get into some other news this week, Gables. A decent chunk of smaller news here. So, first up here, F-Zero Maximum Velocity is out now for NSO. That's a Game Boy Advance launch game. That's out. Sony. I'm sorry. Were you gonna say Sam Gables?
Oh no, no.
Okay. Sorry. Next up here, Sony Bend apparently is making a AAA live service game. Based off of some of the, they put out some new job postings, but that's been rumored and leaked out before that they're working on a live service game. So, no idea like if it's a brand new franchise, if it's based off something, established IP, but there's that. Sounds like Sonic Heroes is getting a remake. That's the, 2003. It was like GameCube PS2 era, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was like either 2003 or 2004. It's basically like, it's sort of like a team sort of platforming style of game. It's like you have core groups of characters you get a chance to control. Obviously, the most popular ones are Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles and stuff. And you got to switch between the three in order to navigate around certain levels and also solve certain puzzles and stuff. But, yeah, I've heard a little bit about the rumors of potentially there being a remaster for Sonic Heroes. I mean, granted, the game itself, it performed well in terms of sales. I mean, there's some people that are kind of lukewarm to it because of how, like, it was how disappointing that game was when it did launch, because it was initially the first real game that launched after Sega pretty much went third party after, like, releasing the ports like Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2 and stuff. But, I'm kind of optimistic about it because I kind of want to see if they will put more effort into kind of ironing out some of the stuff for a remaster.
I doubt it. It's Sega. They can't put out a good game if they're like dependent on it, especially Sonic. Sonic's mid. Next up here, a all-white digital Xbox Series X appeared to leak out there. There's been like some reports out there in the past about potentially like an all-digital one coming, but we didn't know about about being all white. Looks pretty real. It's being covered by a lot of people. A lot of people seem to be kind of like confirming the reports of this. No official like information on it other than we've seen it. It's an Xbox Series X, but white. It's digital only. Some people are saying that it's gonna be a little cheaper. Probably gonna be like $450. So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like I just feel like it's gonna make this whole thing with like the Xbox naming cycle just even more confusing, because now there's already the X, there's the S, there's the Xbox One X, there's the Xbox One S, there's the Xbox One Xbox Series S that has a thousand has a 1 terabyte, and now there's gonna be an Xbox Series X and an Xbox Series X, all white digital only one. So I don't know. Continue to make it more confusing, but at least they're not going to do the Nintendo and PlayStation 5 thing where they like do a backdoor price increase, like we've seen both of the companies do, where they do like very little work to then increase the price on it. So yeah, anything on that one, Gables?
It doesn't surprise me that they go with an all digital Series X. I mean, this is basically upon Microsoft's MO right now, to where they want all digital consoles, and having another choice for consumers to kind of get into like a Series X and stuff. But if they, you know, just because the Game Pass and stuff like that, just having a more powerful system other than like the S and stuff, that makes sense for them. But yeah. I'm not surprised. I've seen some of the photos of that Series X. I mean, that looks pretty much as real as it's going to get to me. Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see it like closer to like the holidays or something like that, for like about like what you were saying, $450, because that's kind of the price what certain retailers are discounting those systems to begin with, the disc models of Series X. I mean, hell, you're probably better off just getting the disc version if you don't really want to, if you actually want a choice to play some of the backwards compat stuff without having to do Game Pass. But yeah, I can understand if like some of our listeners want to do like an all digital stuff. But at the same time, if you're doing all digital stuff, you just go PC at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I feel like, you know, if this was available and it was like say $400,
yeah,
and I was looking at like getting like the $300 Series S, the $400 the digital only X, or the $500, you know, the main one, I probably would have bought this one for $400, because, like, to me, the Xbox to me is just my Game Pass machine mostly.
Yeah.
I play the exclusives and the Game Pass games on it. That's basically what I buy. That's what pretty much what I do with it now. I bought the Series S that a couple months after launch. Last year I went ahead and bought the X. And I don't know, like if I hadn't bought the X already, I probably would have just upgraded this one, because that's like, if for me that already has all the consoles. And like we've seen now with PS5, they're putting out the new Slim model.
Yes.
That's a digital only, and you have to spend the $50 to buy the disc drive separately. Now we see Nintendo that does like you could buy the $100 ticket thing where you can get two games digitally for $100 and save $20. So these companies are definitely pushing the digital only. I think like Xbox now is like over 70% digital. PlayStation somewhere in like the mid 60s, and Nintendo is now over 50% digital now. So we've seen it's a slow death of these platforms here with going digital, and now like GameStop even had a bunch of layoffs and are closing more stores, because I mean we've known, and like they had the big Game Stonks thing that happened a couple years ago, that spiked the price up. Probably bought them some more time, but we know GameStop's been a dying corporation for probably ever since like the PS4, Xbox One came out. Like we started really seeing like digital gaming really become more bigger and bigger. Like, we saw it in the second half of that 360 PS3 era.
Yep.
But I feel like once the PS4 and Xbox One came out, we've definitely been seeing it's tilted more towards digital, and it's just been going faster and faster that direction. Kind of a sad thing, because I'm someone that still goes to GameStop somewhat frequently, and I don't want it to go away. I understand there's a lot of complaints to have about that company. I'm not defending it. I'm not saying there's not, but I don't want mine to go away, because I'm kind of fucked as a gamer that I don't have a lot. I'm not a millionaire here, so that's how I buy a lot of my games. But next up here, really cool thing here. So obviously with the Wii U and 3DS and everything, permanently shut down, the Mario Maker basically won't be playable anymore. People got together and actually went out of their way to go and beat every single level that wasn't beaten yet in Mario Maker. And they finally finished that. They beat every single level that's online on Mario Maker and beat all of them. So every single Mario Maker level that was ever put out in the Wii U has officially been beaten online by somebody else.
Oh, that's kind of hilarious to think that, because that means that the levels that I created probably got beaten too.
Right? That's what I was wondering. I'm like, I wonder who got stuck playing my level. Hopefully, it probably didn't take them more than like 10 minutes though. So probably that. So.
Oh, I think that's pretty fun, just thinking about it, to where people were dedicated enough to where they wanted to go and beat every single Mario Maker level, and thinking, oh, okay, well, let's see how many of these are just like from just like those, those little freaking random like stages or something like that, where you start and all of a sudden finish, like not even like a few steps later.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Next up here, it sounds like Toys for Bob, who broke off from Xbox or Microsoft after the Activision acquisition went together. Toys for Bob is now independent, but they said it sounded like they're going to make a game for Xbox. It sounds like that game they're making is Spyro 4. So, Yeah. So obviously they made Crash 4, and then they did the Spyro and Crash trilogy remakes. So, pretty good pedigree behind them. So that's pretty awesome. But it's just like, I don't understand why Microsoft just didn't keep them. But
had contract or something like that in order for them to develop like that next Spyro game and stuff like that. But at the same point, they probably want to get Toys for Bob or something like that, their own independence to try to choose, probably.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation there.
Yeah.
Another one here, though. Jim Ryan's last day was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad day for a lot of people. Friday was technically Good Friday, but for me, it was a bad Friday because I had to say goodbye to my best friend, Jimbo Ryan. I'm going to miss that little goofy looking fucker that doesn't know how to hold a PlayStation controller. He did do like an interview, and on the way out, he actually confirmed, Gables, that the PS2. So this is a whole weird situation out there. Someone actually did a lot of legwork on this.
Yeah.
We never, I guess, so I didn't realize this. We actually don't officially know the final sales of the PS2.
No.
The last thing the PlayStation reported was 155 million, but they, after they reported that, they continued to manufacture PS2s for another 9 months after that.
Jesus Christ.
So we don't actually know exactly how many more they made. There's a good, really good Twitter thread someone put out together. I have a bunch of articles, like a lot of links that kind of broke it down to figure out they made after the 155 million that they claim they sold. They made somewhere between like 3.8 and 6.2 million, excuse me, 3.8 and 6.2 million more units. So the final sales number is probably 159 to 161 million. So somewhere in there. So it's a little more than what we thought. And it makes it, the Switch was getting so close to that 155 million mark. And now it's that much further away. So, you know, even though it sounds like, we're getting an extra like 6 months or so of the Switch being the main Nintendo console on the market. That extra 4 million at this point might make the difference between them, passing that PS2 or not. So, and last but not least here, Gables, really, really awesome thing that Xbox did. They released a background on your Xbox Series consoles, a blue dragon, and to honor Akira Toriyama. So, if you have an Xbox, you can go into your settings, and you can change your background, and it could be the blue dragon main screen. So that's a really cool thing they did.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
I can understand why they would choose that, because that was the game that tied in with like the Xbox 360 and stuff. Wish they could have just partnered with like Shueisha and stuff like that to do something Dragon Ball related, but that's just me. But hey, I love the idea that they did that for one of Akira Toriyama's creations.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can go in there and you can put your own custom one. Yeah. Like, I've had a Haven screenshot I took years ago as mine for a long time.
Dude.
But, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just thinking about screenshots. One of my screenshots from my Series X for a long time, which is me, like, taking a screenshot of playing the game Black and stuff, and, like, one of the soldiers, I just shot him in the nuts or something like that, and it just just sort of spread out.
That's funny. That's really good. That's funny. But, yeah, it's a cool thing to do. I mean, obviously, they own the rights to Blue Dragon, so it's probably, like, one of those things where they can just kind of
usually
just do. So, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I agree. Like, I wish PlayStation brought back the backgrounds. I remember like the Switch launch and it had the white and black background, but they had like made it look like there's gonna be more options and they just never did it.
So, they never did it.
Yeah. It's like it sucks. Like on the PS4 I bought I actually paid money, like usually like a dollar or two for the backgrounds, and like that was actually like a pre-order bonus they would do a lot of times.
It's
never did that again. I wish they did that because those are pretty sweet. So
customizing your PS4's interface, yeah, that was one of the favorite things I like to do, especially with like not just that system, but the PS3, the 360. I love the blades of like the 360 to where you can customize it based upon what game or something. So I did have some Castlevania stuff. I did for like themes and stuff.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I had like a Doctor Who PS4 background.
Oh.
That just played the Doctor Who theme for a long time. And that was pretty badass. So some of those like had some, like they actually had like some really great music. And I would just like pop on the PS4. And just like let the in the background just play like the main theme from like Life is Strange Before the Storm, and I would just like listen to that. I just have that play in the background while I was like, you know, putting the podcast together, like putting the notes together and shit. So, but yeah, man, bring that back. That was pretty fucking sweet. But Gables, let's get into what we've been playing this week, buddy. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
Let's have you go first this time, Tyler.
Okay. So I'm playing a couple games. I talked about last week. I did pick up my copy of Rise of Ronin. A little bit of background on that one for me. The last 2 years of doing our top 10 list, I've had a Team Ninja game on my top 10. I had Strangers of Paradise, the Final Fantasy Zero game. That game, obviously goofy and has like, it's not a great game, but it made my top 10. It was like, I think it was like 7th or 8th on my top 10 list in 2022. Absolutely enjoyed the game. The gameplay is actually really fun. Like, their games don't look great, but like they're like just really fun times. And then last year, Wolong was like the first Dark Souls game, like Souls like game that I ever played and actually finished. You know, like usually those games will stick with me. But I had a great time with that. Played like 40 hours of it. Love that game. So going this one, I was like, I wasn't like, they're never like, I'm not like both of those games were like the bottom half of my top 10 list. And I feel like the peak of this like game would be the bottom half of my top 10 list, Rise of the Ronin. This one's obviously like a lot, looks and feels a lot more like kind of like they make like their games don't look great. They look like early like PS4, like they're like be a really great graphical game 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like for me, I don't like that doesn't really bother me too much. As long as the game runs fine and it plays great, I can get past it. And like their stories are usually whatever outside of Strangers of Paradise. Like Will Long couldn't tell you a single fucking thing that happened. Couldn't tell you a single character's name. More of the same in this one. Couldn't tell you what's really too much of what's going on here. And couldn't really tell you, you know, the characters' names. But play about 9 hours of it. And Gables, I'm kind of done. Think I'm just done with this game. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with this game. Like really, really wrong with this game. There's nothing like awful about this game. It's just one of those things where it's like those first two, like Wolong and Strangers Paradise, like just solid 7.5, 8 out of 10 games to me.
Yeah.
You know, one of those, like, and they're like the perfect kind of like to me, like 7.5, 8 out of 10 games where you could just turn your brain off. And like, I just listen to podcasts and play through. Except for the cutscenes of Strangers of Paradise. I had to like listen to everything that happened because you never know when fucking Limp Bizkit might show up. Like you always had to pay attention to that one. But like Wolong definitely was like a podcast. Like I just listened to podcasts through cutscenes. And that's kind of what I was like hoping for. Is like just give me like a really great gameplay, Ghost Tsushima style game, podcast game. That's all I want. And I don't know, maybe part of it too was just after I put 90 hours into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and that's a pretty meaty open world. I will say in certain senses, like I like some of the side quests in this more than Rebirth. I think part of it too is because like they're so short and so fast, and they're usually just they're like it's a lot of the same. Let's go here, kill these guys, and move on. But I could just listen to them. Like I don't really give a shit about the characters of the story. So I just got to listen to podcasts while I was playing it, and they're so short, like, so I didn't really care you know, about these side missions, so I do some of them more often. It's just kind of, it's a lot of the I don't know, I feel like the map isn't, like, it doesn't seem too big. Like, I can get around pretty quickly in
right.
The areas I'm going through. But the combat, to me, it's almost like if they made, like, it's like a hack and slash style game. Imagine like Bayonetta, they just made it a map game. It's like, I love playing through Bayonetta 2. 3 didn't stick with me. I didn't love 3 as much as 2. But like, I just imagine like, I love Bayonetta 2, but that game was like, I don't know what, 15 hours maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But if they just made it a full-fledged 60-hour game, it's like, that combat is awesome. But it's like, being on a path where they introduce so many new characters, the boss fights are epic and awesome. But I feel like if I played 60 hours of that, I would fall off after so much. And the problem with this game is like, they try to keep it somewhat realistic into like a world of like, you know, obviously realistic as a video game could be, especially, you know, this kind of game, but there's no, like, everything you fight, everybody, all the enemies are humans. So they're not really introducing, different like types of enemies. You're fighting a lot of the same enemies over and over again. They just might have a different type of weapon. There's like different, like almost like fighting stances, kind of like Ghost Tsushima had, but like Ghost Tsushima, I think there was 4 different fighting styles. If I remember correctly, it's been like 4 years since I played that game. But like each was like drastically different. And this one, like you could see like above the character's head, like it'll like give you a an arrow pointing up or down or like kind of neutral, telling you if like you have the advantage in this fighting stance and you switch it. But like you don't really feel a difference in the style. The only thing is like the way you swing the sword is different. But like the combat isn't really different. Like I'm not fighting any differently. So it's like that doesn't, it adds a little bit more of like a challenge to it, but it doesn't really drastically make a difference here. The story is like whatever, like I said, like couldn't tell you, like, and I actually have been like, because they've tried to put a little more focus on the story in this one, so I have been paying attention to that at least. But it's just whatever. Like you have like a voice, like your character talks very little. You have like, they do a lot of things. Like they have like characters that join you in these, some like you have like felt like that join you in some of these battles. You have like a computer character that will follow you right. around some of these missions. And you can, like, as you do more missions together, like, your bond grows. You can do missions for them, and, like, you earn more stuff. Like, you have a skill tree that you have that, like, I looked at the skills. I was looking at all the skills. Sometimes, like, honestly, skill tree, very important to a game. Because like, that's kind of the ultimate motivation thing that kind of keeps you going to, like, to do more side activities because I want to get more of these, obviously, unlock more skills. But immediately, I'm like, none of them, like, intrigue me whatsoever because it's not like you're not, like, upgrading your stats or, like, adding too many more, like, different fighting styles. You're not really adding anything. It's just, like, it's very small upgrades on, like, things you're, like, you do. Like, there's, like, and then there's, like, multiple, like, there's not, like, oh, you get skill points, but there's also, like, each thing you have to do certain, like, things to unlock skill points. There's, like, the basic skill points, but then there are skill points you have to unlock that go to each of, like, the four different skill trees that you have. And you have to do certain things to, like, unlock, like, skill points for strength. And then skill points for intelligence. But then you also just have basic skill points. It's just like, why do you make this so complicated? And also, it's like, none of the skills are, like, great to unlock to, like, want me to do the side activities. And I spent a good chunk of time doing some of the side activities, but I was like,
right.
After, like, 4 hours of doing it, I'm just like, what? Like, I'm like, all right. Like, yeah, I'm getting through them. Like, I'm like, it's like, kind of like, you're going through, you're unlocking them fast enough and doing them fast enough that, like, it's almost like that TikTok brain of, like, I'm doing enough, quick enough that it's not really, like, bothering me too much because I'm getting through them so quickly. But it's, like, I'm not really enjoying them. I'm, like, I feel like I'm not, like, I feel like I was, kind of forced myself to play. You know, like, when you buy a game sometimes?
Yep.
And you're, like, you're not really loving it, but you feel like you're, like, you keep playing because you feel like you're obligated to play because you paid for it?
Yep.
That's kind of where I've been. Like, on Sunday, like, I played, like, the first hour on Saturday, but I was, like, I spent a bunch of time this is last Saturday. I played it, but, like, that, I beat Rebirth that day, and I put like an hour of them. Like, I'm just gonna come back later because, like, I just played like 7 hours of Rebirth. I need a little bit of a break before I start especially another open world game. And I started playing Sunday. I played for like 2 hours, and I was just like, I don't really want to play this game right now. And then, like, I was off Wednesday. I played for a few more hours. And I was just like, I kind of feel like I was like, it was like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, I should probably play this game. I'm off today. I just, like, you know, like, jump into this. And then today was like more of the same, where I was just like, yeah, I guess I should play this game. And I played, like, you know, a couple hours of it. I was like, why am I? I'm like, I'm not having fun. Why am I doing that? I have like 5 other games that I want to play, like, you know, that have, like, come out recently. I'm like, that I'm looking forward to playing. Like, I should go play instead. Cause, like, and then, like, I'm kind of talked to people. I've, like, heard some things. Like, this is like a pretty big game. It's like I said, it's like, even if you mainline this game is going to be 30, 40 hours. And then if you do some side activity, like, we're talking like a 60 plus hour game here. I'm like, I'm 9 hours in, and I'm not really having a great time with this. Like, I don't think it's bad. There's nothing egregious with it. Like, honestly, I feel like if you are just someone that wants, like, a B-level map game with some pretty good combat, but just accept that it's never going to drastically change. You can buy this later for $30, you know? Just check it out then. If you're, like, sitting there, but, like, to me, it's just, like, this game's $70. And, like, I love Teen Ninja games, you know, like I talked about, but, like, it's just not doing it for me. And, like, I don't know, maybe if, like I said, it could be, like, I just put 90 hours into, like, a big open world game. Maybe if this came out in January, you know, when I just had nothing to play for myself. Like, there's a lot of great games came out in January. I'm not saying that, but for me, there was, like, none of those games interested me. If this came out in January, my mindset would be different. I don't know. But right now, where I'm just, like, you know, it's also getting nicer out. Like, in January, when it's fucking cold, miserable, and I'm stuck inside, this might be the perfect game. Shut my brain off, listen to some podcasts, and just do some dumb side activities. But it's, you know, it's almost April. It's getting nice outside. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of other games I could be playing right now. Yeah, I just kind of passed on this one. I think I'm just kind of done. I'm just done. It sucks because I was looking forward to this one. Then last but not least here, Gables, I played through the Stellar Blade demo.
Okay.
Gables.
What?
This is my shit right here. I love this fucking rules. So they did one of my favorite things that I think Square Enix might have started this one. Could be wrong, but they're the ones that kind of popularized it. But, like, they put a demo out, and, like, whatever you do in the demo goes over the main game. Because, like, most times if, like, a game I'm most likely going to buy, I don't even bother playing the demo because I'm like, I don't want to do the same shit again later. This one is like the first, like, I want to say it's like, depending on how much kind of side stuff you do, I'd say you could probably go through it in like 50 minutes, but maybe like, I don't know, like you could probably, if you take your time, maybe hour 20, whatever. It's a very horny game, not going to lie. Right off the bat, makes me a little uncomfortable with how much jiggling is going on. Seems a little unnecessary. But it is definitely, this is kind of what I was hoping, I think, Rise of the Ronin would be, but better. Where, like, it is definitely, like, they're taking a lot of, it feels like if this is, like, a Nier's Automata sequel, but, like, if they made it more of a Souls-like, which just is pretty fucking awesome to me. Like, the music is, I'm not going to say on par to Nier's Automata, but it definitely sounds like, it's like, okay, we don't have the guy that made, it's kind of like, almost like when, like, when you play like a rhythm game or something like that, and they want to use like real like music licensed tracks, but they don't want to pay for the actual license, so they get like the knock like a sound alike band to play like to do the song. That's kind of what the music is right now. It's like I'm enjoying it enough, but it's not as good as Nier Automata's music was. The gameplay is, I would say, on par with it. It's more fast paced, which is what I want. The dodge mechanics, the fucking the parries is there. It was like what I want. This kind of what this. It's exactly what I want Rise of the Ronin to be, like I said, but better. It looks absolutely stunning. This game is gorgeous. It's too pretty. I don't understand like why it's so pretty, and I'm not even talking about the boobs yet. But it's definitely makes me a little uncomfortable. I'm like why why is like she's just standing still? Why are they still moving? It's very weird. I'm having a like I said the music is on par. The gameplay, man, is great. Like when you do the perfect, it does like almost. It's kind of like more like Bayonetta and such. When like you just hit that perfect parry or that perfect dodge, and the whole thing just slows down. And it's like, yeah, that is, you just feel fucking awesome at that. Like nothing could stop me at that point. I could run through a wall like the Kool-Aid Man right now. That's how great I feel. But like they are introducing a bunch of like different enemies to fight as you go. There are some side activities you can do. There's some like there's like these chests you can find. You got like a lot of exploring you can do in these little areas. There's only the one boss fight, like big boss fight you do. It's tough. There is a there's like a story mode and there's a normal mode, but I'm playing on normal. But man, it is definitely like when the demo was over, I was kind of bummed they wouldn't let me go back in. I might be able to. I guess I want to double check that because I kind of want to like almost do like a Wolong thing. Remember like Wolong came out? I played that demo for like 10 hours and I got so OP and like because I did that and like when the game came out, I was like massively overleveled. I kind of want to do that again with Stellar Blade, where I always want to go through and just keep fighting these enemies and getting better and just leveling up. The skill tree is exactly what I want. And what's cool about the skill tree is something for me personally, like I'm not great at dodging or parrying. I'm parrying especially, I'm terrible at. Dodging, I can be decent at times. Where there's like actually part of the skill tree is they can make it so like you are better, like it makes it easier to dodge and parry. Like you can... they add, like the timing is you got a little more time to do the perfect dodge and the perfect parry, and I'm like immediately that's like what I'm putting my skill tree towards is like upgrading that shit, but man, like the story is kind of whatever, but I am totally in on the gameplay. Like I said, it feels like I said, like Nier Automata with Bayonetta, but like a Souls like, and if that sounds like your shit, this is your shit right here. Check it out. The demo, obviously, it's free. Check out the demo. And if you beat it, the game, all that saves go, the save goes over to the main game. This one from like a game, I was going to wait for reviews to come out to find out if this is like, I was probably going to buy it, but I want to wait for reviews. Kind of get final confirmation. I already pre-ordered it. It's done. I'm in. I'm buying it. I'm sold. I'm sorry I ever doubted you. Shift up. If only you can allow me to turn off the jiggling, because it, makes me very uncomfortable. As much I'm a straight male. I love boobs and butts as much as everybody else. And I'm not saying I don't enjoy looking at them. You know, I'm human. I'm willing to admit that, Gables. But it's just like, even as a guy who lives by himself and I have the curtains closed, I'm kind of a bit embarrassed of myself for playing this game. So, this isn't like a ooh, a woke thing here. I'm not that at all. This is a little egregious of like how horny this game is. It just, or like, let me at least have a meter where I could turn it down a little bit. Like, can I cut it in half? Can we start at half? Like half the jiggle effects, because it is insane. And they just love slowing things down just enough, like, and they make it like I feel like I'm playing extreme beach volleyball almost here. Like, this is like, we're just overdoing this. Gables is like, oh, I'm gonna check this demo out now. I'm uncomfortable by it, and Gables is like, fuck, day one, buy. I don't have to play the demo. I'm just gonna buy it. but yeah, that's all I'm playing. I can't wait for this game to come out. Day one, buy. It's gonna be awesome. Cannot fucking wait. But Gables, what have you been playing, buddy?
I've been dabbling here and there with a couple different games. Obviously, this is another one of those weeks where I pretty much was nonstop working and stuff. So it's like a little bit of downtime. I had a chance to play a little bit more of like Phantasy Star, really, because I wanted to try to chip away at it a little piece by piece. I finally got the fourth member of my party. It's pretty much like a mage or something by the name of Noah. How to get her inside of your party, it wasn't as obvious as it could have been, really. So basically what you had to do was, like, you had to go to this, like, various, like, kingdom, right? And you had to go, like, and get this specific type of, like, cake or something like that from, like, an NPC in a dungeon. Right? So, this involved me getting into a dungeon, finding this room to where this merchant is selling this type of cake. So, I'm buying this. I go all the way to the kingdom, and this particular kingdom and stuff, this king loves sweets. He won't see you unless, like, you give him, like, some sort of gift. And so, you give him this cake and stuff, and he's, you know, obviously lets you into the kingdom of a blah and so on and so forth. This dude pretty much, like, just tells you point blank. It's like, okay, I do support you guys into like opposing like this big bad by the name of Lassik, right? And so Lassik's this major like bad guy and stuff that is trying to take over the kingdom and pretty much trying to get all the galaxies or something like that into the total destruction. And so he pretty much supports you and gives you like this note to where he wants you to go to this other like little cave upon Matovia, this other world and stuff that you have to fly to in order to, like, recruit her into your party. And so after you get that letter and stuff, it's like, oh, you guys seem to be tired. Why don't you go to sleep? In the middle of your sleep and stuff, you get this nightmare, right? And so as soon as, like, it cuts the cutscene and stuff like that, you guys think you're going to go, like, go to bed, to sleep and stuff like that, all of a sudden out pops a boss battle, like, right in the middle of your sleep, right? And so, basically, it's called the Succubus. It's the name of the monster, which I think is pretty freaking hysterical as well, because it freaking is... It's just one letter away of just, like, with Succubus. I think that's what they were trying to aim for in terms of the thing, but no. It's basically, like, a giant head. It's not even a Loch Ness monster, dude. It's, like, just a giant head with, like, just, like, this... Like, just a demonic face or something like that you have to fight. And fortunately, because I had grinded so much, I was able to go and overcome this nightmare of a dream and do it with gusto, pretty much. And afterwards, it's like, you're all well and good. It's like, you're all healed, all this and that and stuff like that. It was just a random nightmare that was kind of instilled, which actually was kind of forced upon you because it was pretty much like Lassik's influence that gave you this type of nightmare to the point where it's like, basically, he could attack you inside of your dreams. or that type of shit. But after that, I went back to the planet Matovia and went to that specific cave, navigated to where that NPC character is at, gave her the note. She joins my party, and like with every other party member that's joined me up to that point, they started level 1. And here I am, like, with my party. My party's, like, around... At the time that I picked her up, right, it was, like, from level, what was it, level 15, 16, or something of that sort, all the way up to, like, Yeah, level 15, 16, all the way up to like level 21 or something with my main character. Again, I had to do grinding, and I had to make sure I got her up to around level 15 or 16. Like I've stated before, like a couple episodes ago, I'm very thankful that when they did the Sega Ages game, this version here for Phantasy Star, when you pause the pause menu, it gives you a couple of different options to check the lists of what each character's spell, what they learn, what items you can get inside the game, like pretty much what, like the armor that you're supposed to get or something like that. Because if I didn't have this options at my disposal, I probably would have quit this game like about 10 hours ago. Because it's like, it's so, because it's a game from its era, you have to keep track of going to every town, finding out the names of the town, like what do the NPC characters say of like specific items or specific things. So having done that, recruit that character in the party, I finally go to this other village to where I come across a merchant that sells something called a magic lamp. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what does this magic lamp do? So I check it up. It's like, oh, this actually permanently lights up the lights inside of any cave that I go into. And immediately I think to myself, it's like, holy shit, I could have just gotten this item for like 1400 like currency and stuff and like quit buying the 200 to 300 like freaking gold like a flash, which is basically it only works once when you go into the cave, and once you exit, it's pretty much depleted. So at least at this point, I got the permanent lighting going in the caves. I have a dungeon key, which will help me unlock any type of keys, like any type of locks or something in terms of any cave, since that's universal items and stuff. I'm trying to come across a like this sort of like a miracle key to where it's supposed to automatically unlock magic, like covered like doors and stuff. So at this point in time, I gotta say I'm at least around 7 or 8 hours into this game. So, according to how long to beat, I'm pretty much halfway through in terms of the time that it's supposed to take. But in terms of the side mission stuff, I think I'm getting close to around halfway in terms of the story mission stuff because I've had to stop and grind. I have to go and level up because I need certain abilities in order to make things easier towards like towards the end of the game. Currently, I have to level up like my mage here, Noah, because she has an ability to where like it's going to make it easier for me to open these magic doors without having a miracle key. So I think that's like level 17, level 18 or something like that. I have to get her to. I think she's like a level 15. So getting that stuff done and like having her learn her abilities, because there's a straight cap, Tyler, to where all these characters stop learning abilities, so that's like level 20. The cap of the game itself, like how high you can get these characters up to, is 30. So yeah, 30 is the max cap for this game. And depending upon what you do and what characters and what like equipment you have and stuff, that's gonna make the difference between actually beating this game and just pretty much full fucking yourself over. So I already have like my main character a list that's like pretty close to getting to her like mid-20s. I think she's like 22, 23 in terms of that. But other than that though, I did make some in other game stuff. I did make some like transactions on eBay once again. And it is for more classic stuff. I got a couple other games for my Dreamcast. One of the two actually arrived today, and let's just say these are games I've wanted to play on the Dreamcast for quite some time. I've played them on other systems. And let's just say the ports on the other systems are not that great in terms of some of their glitches or in terms of their like crazy ass things. So I know this is gonna be kind of like this is gonna be kind of like well, controversial stuff, but I did end up purchasing on eBay both Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 for Dreamcast. I ended up spending like about close a little bit over $100 just between the two. Yeah. Well, like I said before, man, But you know what's really hilarious about this is I got one of the two games today, right? And I looked at the description of everything and stuff. I was like, okay, well, it says it's in good condition. I get the disc and stuff in the mail. And so what greets me is this kind of dual sort of case, right? I had the disc in my system, right? I go and I open up this thing. I look at the back of the disc. It's pristine. It looks
Oh.
like it's never had any type of like major like playing at all. It looks like it probably may have been touched like a couple of times and that was it.
Gables, do you think they maybe they played the game once, realized it was shit, and just never touched
You
it
know, Tyler, it could have been possibly that. I will give that to you.
I'm gonna say most likely that's the case.
But at the same time though, inside of the CD case, they actually the seller hid this little note and stuff. And so this is what greets me, right? So I'm showing you a picture. This was in the back of the CD case, right?
Okay.
And so he gives me a little note here. It's like, thank you for your purchase, like blah blah blah, and so on and so forth. I thought that this was actually pretty funny in and of itself because he pretty much like sends me like a meme picture of Sonic the Hedgehog alongside the freaking game and stuff.
Yeah.
But before we started recording, I had a chance to try out the disc, try out everything. Damn thing runs so smooth. The courses that I was playing, like say on Xbox Live Arcade or on Steam or even like on the GameCube for a little bit. Sheesh. These ones, like this Dreamcast port is definitely better than those ones because when it came to the port jobs of Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 from the Dreamcast to the GameCube, there were definitely a lot of technical hiccups. And worst of all, those other ports that came to other systems like Xbox, PS3, like Steam and stuff like that, they're based upon the GameCube ports. And those ones are not the ideal stuff because there's a ton of glitches inside of that stuff. There's a kind of like a random like artifact shit, you know. But and then also the character models look so much freaking like Sonic the Hedgehog himself looks so much different and looks like he's kind of stretched or elongated inside of those as well. But having a chance to try it out for myself, the original Sonic Adventure, like a game that I've been wanting to play on the Dreamcast since the system first came out, I like the idea. I like that, you know. I freaking had a chance to play it. You know what? I enjoyed myself applying the thing. And once the second game comes, hopefully Monday, from what eBay is telling me. Oh God, the one thing I'm really glad about is I didn't pay like over 150 or fucking $200 for both of those games. Because Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast, I found a new listing and it was like about $40 for like a good condition disc. There are like discless ones that are going for that price.
Wow.
There was like just disc only that were going for that type of price, and the conditioning of those are like there's a lot of surface scratches on the bottom of those discs.
Yeah.
So getting a good condition Sonic Adventure like under $50, that's a win. Getting freaking paying like maybe like close to a retail cost game for Sonic Adventure 2. Like, say, $70 at least for that thing. That was a lot better of a deal than what I was seeing it for even for, like, say, disc only, had like some surface scratches. People are freaking selling that game, like, for bids and stuff, like, about 90 to up close to about almost $150. And there was like, there's no way I'm fucking touching that. So I found an auction. Not just auction, I found someone to where I could just buy it from them for like a set price of like $70. I did that. I'll wait till what happens, you know, on Monday when I have a chance to check it out. But it could have been a lot worse than what it could have been. But at the same point, though, yeah, this is going to be my seventh and eighth game for the Dreamcast, you know, so I got those set up. There are probably a few more left that I will want to try to get, but it's going to be cooling down for quite a while in terms of Dreamcast stuff, unless an absolute steal happens for like some of the games I do want. Because it's like, I do want Power Stone, I do want like Soul Raver and stuff, and Rayman 2 and stuff. But I can wait on those for a while.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of new game stuff that I want to try to delve into eventually. But other than that, man, that's all I've been playing this week.
All right. Well, very cool, Gables. I'm glad you basically got a brand new copy of a 25-year-old game. So that's awesome.
I pretty much did.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. So thank you guys so much for checking us out. Like I said, top of the show, like, follow, subscribe, check us out wherever podcasts are available. You'll find us on those places. 5-star reviews, leave a comment, check us out. We're on Facebook, Twitter, all those places. If you can go there, support us there, tell your friends. If you can't, just hit the thumbs up button. Like I said, leave a 5-star. People do, you do stuff like that. Help us out a little bit in the algorithm, you know? Like I said, we're two guys. We just do this for fun. We just love video games and we like doing this. So, and check us out. Check back in a few days. Gables and I, we have a very special extra episode that Gables had no idea what we were doing until we started it. And I think it's maybe some of the best stuff we've ever done. That's, you know, we've been doing this for 11 years. So that's saying something. So I'm really happy, really proud of that. So just keep an eye out. Keep an eye on the channel. Keep an eye on the YouTube feed. So, you know, give us our podcast feed. Give us a follow on there. Subscribe, whatever it is. But yeah, I was your host. I was Tyler.
I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, play some fun video games. Just enjoy yourself. Don't let other people dictate what you want to play or what you want to do. Just go and out there and pick what you want to play and just play it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, though, thank you for listening to the fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Too sweet?
Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.